Smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen. Music by Peter Van Steeden. New features, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a ray of sunshine, followed by those black knights of the drama, the mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join that happy throng, folks. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here they come, court witnesses.
Where will you be on the night of April 27th, madam?
If it's a Wednesday, I'll be home, Judge, listening to my radio. It's Town Hall tonight.
Senator,
you want to add $2 billion to the housing bill, Senator?
Yes, Senator. No modern home is complete without a radio. It's Town Hall tonight.
Animal trainers.
I don't see how you get your hyena to laugh, Mr. Todd.
I just put a radio in his cage on Wednesdays, lady. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, sir, here we are inside the old Town Hall, folks, and Peter's starting the overture with I Love to Whistle. Go, Pete!
I love to whistle, cause it makes me merry, makes me feel so very. I love to yodel everywhere I go.
Yodel,
to whistle, troubles won't come near me, especially when they hear me. Belly to bear, belly to rise, makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise, but I found out and know it's true. A whistle does much more for you, so I love to whistle. Troubles won't come near me, especially when they hear me.
Presenting that shy, shaggy shrimp, shouting, shocking, shabby, shim, sham, shrieking, sharp, showy, shilly, shally, showering, shiny, shoddy, shocks, or shucks, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Say, Harry, well, gee, I hate to put you to all that trouble. Could you introduce me again? I tell you, I'm really not myself tonight, and I cannot possibly appear under the name of Allen. The way I feel, my name is Belshazzar McGee. Could you introduce me as Belshazzar McGee?
Presenting that shy, shaggy shrimp, shiny, shaggy, shabby, shim, shabby, shabby,
Belshazzar McGee.
Belshazzar McGee in person.
Thank you very much. You see, with any name, the applause is just the same. And good evening. As long as the sign holds up. And good evening. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the Grange is open, and we'll skip the minutes and come to order with the Town Hall Bulletin. Hodge White, the first little businessman to find that his credit wasn't even good enough to enable him to borrow a nickel to phone the RFC for a loan, has a seasonal announcement. Hodge says spring is here, folks, and you'll soon be packing away your balbriggans and heavy clothes for the summer. Now, Hodge says if you don't want to unpack your things next fall and find you've been giving a chinchilla barbecue for moths all winter, get busy. Hodge is selling a new mothball called the Kiss of Death, folks. It's an imitation mothball made of alum. The moth nibbles on it. His mouth starts to shrink, and finally his lips close up, and he slowly puckers to death. Now, Hodge says the Kiss of Death mothball is just a dry Mickey Finn, folks. So stop and shop tomorrow. So much for hole insurance around the square. And now for the Town Hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Lo and behold, Fred.
Well, let's behold it low, Harry. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The Town Hall News sees nothing, should get a cane. New York City, New York. Animal and pet lovers throughout the country, prepare to observe Be Kind to Animals Week. Starting April 24th for 7 days, people are asked to show a little kindness and consideration for their birds, pets, and all dumb animals. Town Hall News interviews several citizens to see how Be Kind to Animals Week is working out. Mr. Filbert Snagg, pet shop owner, says...
I'm through being kind to anything that flies, creeps, crawls, climbs, gimps, waddles, swims...
Now try to hold in, Mr. Snagg.
Hold in? Being kind to animals has given me nervous procrastination.
Nervous procrastination? It's a new form of it, isn't it? You mean you lose time getting nervous? Now you own a pet shop.
Yeah.
And you tried being kind to your animals?
Yeah, I open up Monday morning. Kindness is oozing out of me every pore.
What happened?
I walk over to the monkey cage to spread a little joy, and wham! The monkey gives it to me right in the eye. A mouthful of stale water.
Well, I trust that didn't dampen your ardor.
Huh? No, just be no suit.
What about your other animals?
When I tried to meet them halfway, I put me hand in a tropical fish tank. I'm figuring on tickling a guppy under the gills. Spreading a little submarine goodwill, you see.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be a...
Now, something go wrong?
There's a swordfish in with the guppies. The little finny bum saws the strap off me wristwatch and plunk.
It's your...
Me bulliver dropping into the tank.
Was your watch ruined?
Well, the crystal fell out and zip. A turtle swallows the minute hand.
A turtle ate off the minute hand?
Yeah, he must have thought it was a minnow with rigor mortis.
So you finally gave up pandering to your animals?
No, I took one more chance. I got 20 dogs in me store.
And you were kind to them?
What can I lose? I'm soaking wet and me watch is soggy. I gives them all a little pat on the back.
Now what happened?
The whole 20 dogs started wagging their tails, and the draft gave me pneumonia.
It was an ill wind, wasn't it?
It's always an ill wind in a pet shop, bud. Get it?
I got it the minute you came in. And thank you, Mr. Filbert Snagg. Miss Peony Trask, ardent pet lover, has fairly reveled in Be Kind to Animals Week. Miss Peony Trask.
I've just been a ray of sunshine all week, really.
Have you been kind to your pets, Miss Trask?
I only have one pet, a parrot.
Well, aren't you afraid of psittacosis?
Oh, my parrot couldn't carry psittacosis. He's always standing up.
Oh, I... And you're being kind to him this week?
Yes. Every time he says Polly wants a cracker, I give him two.
Well, has this extra food had any effect on the bird?
Yes, it came down with gout the second day.
It did. What did you do?
I rushed it to the parrot hospital instantly.
Is there a hospital just for parrots in New York?
Oh, yes. The Polly Clinic.
The Polly Clinic. Thank you, Miss Peony Trask. A gentleman whose intentions were good had a painful experience. Mr. Troubadour Wick. Mr. Troubadour Wick. Now, what is your story, Mr. Troubadour Wick?
Well, I'm head outside mopper at Cushman's Bakery.
Outside mopper?
Yeah, when people look in a bakery window, their mouths water onto the sidewalk. I come out and mop it up.
A very interesting profession, I imagine. You say you're the head mopper.
Yeah, I got two helpers with blotters. They blot up after kids.
But what has this got to do with Be Kind to Animals Week?
Well, every morning on my way to work, I pass a horse in a milk wagon.
I see.
I seen in the papers it's Be Kind to Animals Week. So I says to myself, Troubadour, how about giving old Dobbin a break?
You were going to be kind to that milk horse, eh?
Yeah, so Monday morning, I puts a lump of sugar in me pocket. When I'm passing the horse, I stop and hold out the sugar on me hand. And was he tickled.
What makes you think that old horse was grateful?
He bit off two of me fingers to remember me by.
Well, you've got eight more.
Yeah, that's what I say. Easy come, easy go.
And thank you, Mr. Troubadour Wick. But despite these few mishaps, Be Kind to Animals Week is being observed from border to border and coast to coast. In thousands of homes throughout the country, little scenes like this one prove that our pets are not being neglected.
You got four queens, Phil?
Yeah, I win the pot. It's Be Kind to Animals Week, so here's $2.
$2 for what?
For the kitties, stupid.
Hollywood, California, former child movie star, having attained his majority, takes his mother to court to account for his earnings as a child. Town Hall News looks ahead and shows what may happen in the future. The scene, a Hollywood home.
Hello, Ma.
Don't beat around the bush, Junior. Did you get paid at the studio today?
Yeah, Ma.
Well, give Mother your check, darling.
Oh, okay. Here it is. $10,000.
That's my good boy. Here's a nice shiny nickel for candy.
A nickel?
Yes, and what does Mother's little darling say?
I'll sue you later, Ma.
Brooklyn, New York. After a two-year run on Broadway, the George Abbott play, Brother Rat, opens in Brooklyn to start a tour of the country. Town Hall News gives you a two-word summary of the riotous play, Brother Rat. Brother Rat.
Hello again.
And now the Merry Max, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, acknowledging many requests, they sing for you once again in a little red barn.
In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana, let me lay my back on a stack of new mown hay. Round the barnyard where the farmyard folks are pally, let me dilly-dally all the live long day. I'm a Hoosier by gum, far from home, and my heart is pining for the sycamore trees where the Wabash breezes play.
What's more, I'm
pining for a yellow moon that's shining on a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana way.
Come on now, and let's get hot.
You mean the dorty dort dort and the butty bar?
Why, sure, that's the stuff that's going to town. All together now, let's break it down.
A one, a two, a three, and four. In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana. A razzmatazz of the
beanie, 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 beanie.
Hey, bella, bella, bella. Hey, what's the trouble?
You're getting off on that blasted wiener song again.
By crackers, I did forget, didn't I?
Start over again now.
Okay.
A one, a two, a three, and four. In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana. A razzmatazz, let me lay my back on a stack of new mown hay. A hay, a hay, 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 round the barnyard where the farmyard folks are pally. Let me dilly-dally all the live long day, a day, a day, day, day. I'm a Hoosier by gum, far from home, and my heart is pining for the sycamore trees where the Wabash breezes play. What's more, I'm pining for a yellow moon that's shining on a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana way.
Hey, I don't like that Wayne King ending there.
You don't?
No, I thought it was very pretty, didn't you, Helene?
Sure I did.
Well, let's get a good swingaroo Lombardi.
Shall we try it?
I'll give you two for nothing.
Okay.
A one, a two.
On a little red barn, on a farm down in Indiana, in Indiana way.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall broadens its scope and introduces a true confession department. And our first guest is a gentleman from New York, if you will, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, some mornings I wake up wishing I hadn't. You know how you often feel, headachy and logy, and your only ambition is to go back to bed for the rest of the day? I find fault with my wife at breakfast, and at the office I'm a public nuisance.
Well, that's quite a confession.
Well, that's only the half of it, Mr. Allen. Last Thursday, I started complaining and grumbling the minute I got up, and the wife walked out of the room. I thought she was mad, but back she came with a glass of water and a bottle of sal hepatica. She put two teaspoonfuls in the water and made me drink it, and by the time I got to the office, I felt like a new person.
Well, sir, that's because sal hepatica is more than just a laxative. You may know from previous experience that if you take something with a laxative action only, it may be some time before nature has cleared up the accompanying gastric acidity. But when you take sal hepatica, you're also taking an antacid. So in addition to bringing you quick relief, sal hepatica counteracts that acidity. And that naturally gives you...
For it, Mr. Von Zell. All I knew was I felt under par, I took sal hepatica, and soon I felt swell.
Yes, well, when it comes right down to it, ladies and gentlemen, that's all you have to know. When you feel under par and need a laxative, take sal hepatica.
Thank you.
Pana Troubadours have just played The Blue Danube. The Blue Danube is really Old Man River in Technicolor. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet...
Who is it tonight, Fred?
Harry, you are about to run your eyes over a perfect specimen of masculinity. A gentleman who is acknowledged to be the most perfectly developed man in the world today, and who has spent many years glorifying the great American muscle.
Well, gee, maybe I can pull up a dumbbell and learn something, huh, Fred?
You certainly can, Harry. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll listen closely for the next few minutes, you may learn how you, too, can become strong enough almost instantly to rise up and throw your radio out of the window. For tonight, I know you didn't... Tonight, I know you didn't expect to meet Mr. Charles Atlas. Good evening, Mr. Atlas.
Good evening, Fred.
You notice I call you Mr. Atlas. A fellow with your physique automatically demands an extra quota of respect.
You don't have to be afraid of me, Fred.
Ah, that's what you say. But those bulging muscles tell me to watch my verbal step. Say, you're certainly in fine shape.
I always keep in good condition, Fred.
Hey, when I look at your chest and shoulders, Mr. Atlas, something tells me that for once, Mother Nature hit the jackpot. But tell me, how did you acquire your title, the world's most perfectly developed man?
I won the title in the contest held by Bernard McFadden in 1921.
Really?
Boys came from all parts of the world to compete.
Where was the contest held? At Great Neck?
No, in Madison Square Garden.
Well, did you garner any other muscular honors in competition?
Yes. The following year, I won the United States title.
You won the United States title, and then the biceps became yours permanently, hey? Well, it must be wonderful to enter the world equipped with a perfect physique.
I wasn't born with it, Fred.
Oh, you weren't? Why, I had visions of the stork bringing you and then hanging around outside of your house with a bent beak taking baths.
No, I was just a normal baby, Fred.
Well, how did you attain your present physical perfection?
As a boy, I started doing calisthenics and exercising.
Calisthenics and exercise. Did you use any equipment?
No, I don't think it's particularly beneficial to work with the dumbbells.
No, I think that Don Wilson proves that. He has been working with a dumbbell for over 3 years. And now Don is getting so fat, when he wants to sit down, he has to get a little boy to run around in front of him to unbuckle his belt. But I digress, Mr. Atlas. What other exercises helped you to achieve your sinewy success?
Deep breathing. That's a very important.
It is. You know, I haven't taken a deep breath since the time a toy balloon I was blowing up backfired in my face.
You'd better try deep breathing before it's too late.
Well, you know, some of our listeners have been suggesting that. I had a fan letter only last week. It said, Alan, I'd like to see you inhale. The fellow spelled inhale with two L's. It was a new phonetic system. It was puzzling.
That party has the right idea, Fred.
Well, I don't just know how you mean that, Mr. Atlas, but if I don't overlook it, I'm crazy. Well, tell me, did you use any special diet?
Well, I ate only plain foods with plenty of orange juice and fresh vegetables.
No meat?
Yes. I had meat two or three times a week. I've never been a strict vegetarian.
Well, I guess you can overdo anything. You know, a friend of mine is one of those ardent broccoli worshippers. He goes into a vegetarian restaurant and orders a mock sirloin made out of carrots, French fried hay on the side, and for dessert, a heaping plate of alfalfa ice cream.
He is a strict vegetarian.
Yes, he is. He even married a girl with a cauliflower ear. He proposed to her through a bean blower. But enough about my herbivorous acquaintance, Mr. Atlas. Do you mind if I ask you a few personal questions?
Well, right ahead, Fred.
What is your weight?
180 pounds.
Your chest measurements?
47 inches. 17-inch neck, 33 waist, and bicep 16 and a half inches.
Would you mind if I asked your age?
No, I'm 45.
45? Well, you certainly don't look it. Say, while I think of it, I wanted to ask you a few things about your correspondence school, Mr. Atlas.
Are you thinking of joining, Fred?
Well, I might, but first I'd like to have some information. How large is your school?
During the past 15 years, over 300,000 pupils have enrolled.
They have? Well, I tell you, Mr. Atlas, I've been feeling as though I'm filleted lately. Do you think your health school can build me up?
Just give me 3 months, Fred.
All right. What will happen to me in 3 months?
You'll gain 10 pounds in weight, 3 inches around your chest, and 2 inches in neck and thighs, and 1 inch in biceps and calf.
Who is that swell-looking guy? Oh, it is I, as of next July 27th. Now, before the orchestra muscles in on our interview, you know, we've been talking about your strength, and there are skeptics, Mr. Atlas.
I get it. You want me to make good.
If you don't mind.
I'll be glad to, Fred. Would you like to have me bend an iron bar with my teeth?
Gosh, I haven't got an iron bar with me. I always have an iron bar, and just tonight I leave it home. Of all the knives.
How about driving a nail through a 2-inch piece of pine wood with my hand?
Well, say, I've got the nail, but I must have come out again without my pine wood. You know, I haven't got anything here in my pocket but a telephone book. Can you do anything with that?
I can tear in half, Fred.
This is the latest telephone book, Mr. Atlas. I just noticed Joe DiMaggio's name listed. He's back in town. Do you think you can tear this?
I'll try, Fred.
All right, you go right ahead. Mr. Atlas has just torn the New York telephone directory in half. Well, thank you very much. You know, that you make that look so easy, something tells me that I can do it.
Too bad we haven't got another phone book.
Well, fortunately, I have got another phone book right here in my pocket. I always carry 2 phone books to fill out this English drape coat I have on. Now, if you want, I'll be very glad to tear this in halves. It may take a little time, but I'll start.
Say, wait a minute. You're turning page by page.
What did you say?
Say, wait a minute. You're turning page by page.
Oh, well, if you're going to quibble about it. I will just say thank you a lot for your little visit, Mr. Atlas. And I do wish you'd send me the first lesson in your bodybuilding course tomorrow. And as soon as something develops, I'll let you know.
I will, Fred. Thanks and good night.
And good night to you and thank you, Mr. Charles Atlas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Town Hall Quartet. Tonight, the boys sing a song that explains the world's first fish story, Bob McJimsey's version of Jonah and the Whale.
A man got a word from the Lord to go and preach the gospel to a sinful land. But he got on a ship and he tried to get away, and he ran into a storm in the middle of the sea.
Now the Lord, he made the waves just to roll so high.
The ship began to sink and they all began to cry. So they pulled old Jonah out of the hole and they chucked him in the water just to lighten up the load.
Now the Lord made a whale long and wide.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
And he swallowed up Jonah hair and hide.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Jonah started to pray in the belly of the whale, Lord.
He repented of his sins like a man in jail.
Lord, Lord, Lord,
wasn't that a fish?
Jonah must have been a bad man.
He must have been a sinner. Lord, Lord, Lord.
When the whale got him down, he didn't like his dinner.
Lord, Lord, the worst dead of his. Well, he swum around the ocean, sick as he could be. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
set him free.
Lord, Lord, was that a fish? So the whale spit Jonah out on the dry land. And he went on to preaching like a righteous man. Then the people fit the sins when they hid him in the town. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? So when you hear the call,
don't you turn the gospel down.
Lord, 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 wasn't that a fish? Yes, Lord.
Lots of radio programs interview stage and screen stars, but Town Hall, always a few meager jumps ahead of the field, interviews a young lady who plans to be a star 10 years from now, Miss Betty B. Good evening, Betty.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You are going to be a movie star, aren't you, Betty?
Well, I hope to be, Mr. Allen, but it means an awful lot of work.
You mean you have to learn scenes from Shakespeare or that other gentleman, Mr. Ibsen?
Oh, not yet. That comes later. First, you have to take care of your health and your looks.
Well, you don't mean facelifting, Betty.
Oh, no. Things like you go to bed early, you take care of your hair, you stand up straight, and... Oh, yes. And you brush your teeth and massage your gums every day so you'll have a pretty smile.
Well, Betty, taking care of your teeth so you'll have a pretty smile is just good sense. No matter what you want to be when you grow up. Wouldn't you say so, Harry?
Yes, I certainly would, Fred, and very often have. And lots of school teachers and dentists will agree with us. That's why massaging the gums with Ipana toothpaste is advised by so many dentists. Because healthy gums, as well as sparkling teeth, are important to a really attractive smile. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that the soft, creamy foods you eat rob your gums of the work they need to keep them healthy. And without exercise, your gums are apt to become tender and more susceptible to trouble. That's the reason Ipana is recommended so highly. For when used with massage, Ipana is especially designed to aid the health of your gums as well as to clean your teeth. So begin tomorrow to do this. Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana, put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or on the new double-duty toothbrush and massage it on your gum. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately following a brief pause for your station identification.
Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just given you a dash of Long As You've Got Your Health. Now, on Saturday, the Anti-War League will meet here to change the name of the game Tug of War to Tug of Peace.
Mr. Allen!
Now, quiet. Is that somebody paging a daily double? Couldn't we have something...
Hello!
Well, sir, they laughed when I asked the dentist to Novocaine my vest. They didn't know I was going to have my elk's tooth yanked out of the tweed. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I ran all the way.
You ran all the way?
Uh-huh.
Where were you, out with Glenn Cunningham?
No, I had to go to the circus.
You had to go to the circus? Is it compulsory this year?
No, but Harry said that Mayor LaGuardia was putting a penny tax on cigarettes.
That's right. Smokers who inhale are going to have to pay through the nose. But what's the circus got to do with the cigarette tax?
Well, I went over to see if there was another cent on the camels.
With the cigarette tax, you went over to... I could work that out algebraically if I had the time, but unfortunately, I've got to buzz right along. There wasn't another cent on the camels.
Hello, Portland.
Oh,
of all
hello,
people.
Harry.
Say, how did you like the circus?
Oh, it's wonderful this year. Even the sawdust is new.
New sawdust? Gosh, I'll go over and see that.
What did you like best at the circus, Portland? The clown?
Oh, no. I like Gargantua, that big monkey best.
You know, I heard that monkey is so big, he has fleas on him that have fleas.
You know what I heard?
Did you hear something, too?
Sure.
What a week for hearing.
I heard something. I heard it was so noisy around the circus that Gargantua was trying to get his hands on the cotton club to stuff it in his ears.
To put the cotton...
Gosh, if Gargantua ever got hold of Frank Buck, there'd be nothing left but nickels.
You mean the buck would be broken up into nickels. Well, have you seen the circus, Harry?
Oh, sure. I go every year, Fred. I like the rhinoceros.
You've crossed the rhino with the narcissus there, haven't you? What's so wonderful about the rhino?
The rhinoceroses?
Said? Yeah.
Well, nothing, only I've often wondered why whoever made the first rhinoceros went to all that trouble.
I read that a rhinoceros is nothing but a hippopotamus with his adenoids outside.
A hippopotamus with outboard adenoids, huh? Well, a hippopotamus is a waste of skin for my money, too. When I go to the circus, I just look at the freaks and enjoy myself.
Well, they probably have a good time when you get there, too.
Oh, yeah? Well, the fat lady's crazy about me. I'm seeing a lot of the fat lady while she's in town.
Hello, stand-ins.
Stand-ins, eh? Well, the show can go on now, folks. The star is here.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Portland. Wow, what a night.
What, did the straw break in your double malted or something?
No, I just got back from the circus.
Well, what a coincidence. Three people just came back from the circus. It could only happen on radio, a thing like that.
Say, Pete, what did you like best this year?
The elephants, Harry. You know, there's something about an elephant that gets me.
What's so wonderful about an elephant? You mean he can still remember Alf Landon?
An elephant never forgets, does he?
Well, what's he got to remember? One thing. The long end is his head. And he only has to remember that when he goes to sit down.
An elephant has to remember where his mouth is. He can't see way under there, can he?
They have stool pigeons around the circus who tell the elephants.
Listen, nobody can tell me an elephant doesn't remember.
No.
Have you had any experiences with elephants, Pete?
Have I? Over in Jackson Heights, they still call me Newbie.
The Jackson Heights Newbie, eh? Well, what have you got in common with the elephant?
You ought to know. We're both working for peanuts.
Well, how do you like this guy working for goobers? Oh, come in.
Oh, excuse me. Is this the public microphone?
The public microphone, no. The air is only free at filling stations, madam.
I can't wait. I've simply got to use this microphone.
Now, look, madam.
Oh, thank you. I'll only be a minute. I lost my cat. Stand by, America. You kitty, 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 kitty. Come home, puss.
Well, pardon me. Are you finished?
Yes, and here's a dime for you, boy. Thank you.
Say, what's going on here? A strange dame comes in, pages a cat from Maine to California. That's the longest push that's ever been in radio.
You've been broadcasting every week, don't forget.
I have a good mind to let that lull stay there with you so that you can go through life bearing that lull on your back. All right, who's knocking at the door, stay out. Don't come in. I don't want...
Sorry to bust in, Alan.
Oh, that's all right. That's bust in. I'm having the WPA run a street through here. Next week, you can drive in. I'll meet you at the curb with the microphone.
Right over here, Mr. Butts.
Is this here the microphone?
Yes, and stay away from it, Grandpa.
Gabe says it's okay, Alan.
Who's Gabe?
Gabriel Heater. We couldn't squeeze Mr. Butts in on We the People, so Gabe says it's okay to interview him in here.
To interview him in here? I ought to make this a pay microphone.
We won't be a minute. Now, Mr. Butts, where are you from?
I'm from Hen Hawk, West Virginia.
From Hen Hawk, you must be. Well, make your gruesome story snappy, Gramp. There's a show going on here.
It's okay, but...
Tell me.
This is Solomon Butts, folks. 9 years ago tonight, my daughter ran away with a fountain pen salesman.
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
No, he was wearing checkered pants and a yellow raincoat with two buttons missing.
And you haven't heard from your daughter since?
Not a comma. She left home April 27, 1929... 9 years ago tonight.
Do you remember the dramatic circumstances, Mr. Butts?
Like it was yesterday. I was in the back room trying to pare my corns with an electric razor.
You poor man.
Yes, yes. My daughter and this fountain pen salesman was in the parlor. When I come out, Nellie was gone.
Well, didn't she leave a note for her poor old father?
Well, there was a note on the table and a fountain pen.
What did the note say?
This fountain pen is guaranteed for 10 years.
Oh, you poor man. And tonight, after 9 years of grief and silence, you've come to this program to ask your daughter Nellie to come home.
No, that fountain pen broke yesterday. The guarantee's got another year to run.
And you?
I'm trying to locate that horn-swoggling fountain pen salesman.
We the people sneak.
Well, I should hope so. And take this old fumfoot with you.
Hey, hey, let go. I'm on the air. This is Solomon Butts, folks.
This is the end, folks. Beat it, Graham.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm signing off. This is Solomon Butts,
folks. This is Portland, folks.
This is Tally Ho, folks.
And now, once again, the Merry Max, ladies and gentlemen. Their second song is The Quilting Party.
In the sky, the bright stars glitter. On the bank, the pale moon shone. And twas from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. And t'was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. In the sky the bright stars glitter. On the bank of the beautiful river, that's where the pale moon shone. And t'was from Aunt Dinah's, it was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing pretty little Nellie home, ho, 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 ho. I was seeing Nellie home from Aunt Dinah's. I was seeing Nellie home from Aunt Dinah's. And it was the party little Aunt Dinah threw, from which I was seeing Nellie home. Oh, 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 oh. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, I'm seeing Nellie home.
Here and now, ladies and gentlemen, I pause to remark that human beings are a strange lot. They pay a lot of attention to the last rose of summer and very often neglect the last cold of spring. Isn't that true, Harry?
Well, yes, it certainly seems that way, Fred. When spring colds are neglected, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know how they often hang on until sometimes you wonder if you'll ever get rid of them. And that's why we earnestly suggest Sal Hepatica. For if you'll only get after those spring colds at the very beginning with Sal Hepatica, you'll be getting after them in a mighty effective and quick way. Because Sal Hepatica does the very thing so many physicians say you should do to successfully fight a cold. These two fundamental things.
As a laxative, Sal Hepatica removes accumulated waste, both quickly and gently. And as an antacid, Sal Hepatica also helps nature counteract the acidity that so often accompanies a cold.
So don't neglect a cold and let it rob you of any of the good times you ought to be having. At the very first sign of a spring cold, take Sal Hepatica.
Plus that intelligent face, you have a disgraceful charm. come for me.
You couldn't be keener. You look so fresh from the cleaner.
You are the little grand slam I'll bring to my family.
My ma will show you an album of me that'll bore you to tears. And you'll attract all the relatives we have dodged for years and years. And what'll they tell me? Exactly what'll they tell me?
They'll say you couldn't be nicer, couldn't be sweeter,
couldn't be better, couldn't be smoother, couldn't be cuter, baby, than you are.
Finally got it right. Harry.
Harry, that first round was for the quartet, Fred. No.
I know, but you shouldn't doze off and raise the applause card in your sleep. People applaud in the middle of the music. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Van Steed and the Ipana Troubadours, the Town Hall Quartet, and Harry Von Zell have just finished for you. You couldn't be cuter. And now... Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the first actors to ever be arrested by the game warden for playing Ibsen's Wild Duck out of season, the Mighty Alan R. Players. Tonight, they present a biographical faux pas called The True Story of Your Hero, or Gold May Be Where You Find It, But Silver Is Under the Lone Ranger. Over to you, Peter.
Help! Help! Stand by!
Poison Pete, and prepare to meet your maker. Oh,
before you shoot, stranger, tell me, who be you?
I'm the Lonely Ranger.
The Lonely Ranger?
You ever rustled your last herd of cattle, Poison Pete? You're a dying like a dog.
No!
And it's a death to any galoot in Rattlesnake Canyon who defies the Lonely Ranger. Let's go, Silver.
And so, until tomorrow night, boys and girls, we leave Pies and Pete stiff and stark in Rattlesnake Canyon. Happy nightmare, kiddies.
And don't forget, the Lonely Ranger comes to you through the courtesy of Brano Wads, the tasty bran spitball. Chew away the bran on your way to school, and you've got a nice wet wad to throw at teacher. Try Brano Wads, kiddies. Just say, you know, to your grocer. He'll know.
And do tune in tomorrow for another thrilling episode with the Lonely Ranger. This is Station NUTS. Good night.
Well, are we off in the air, Mr. Announcer?
Yes, Luke, your first program's over. Congratulations.
Thank you. All you actors leaving?
Yeah, yeah, we're on.
See you in the next episode, Luke.
Well, so long, all.
Right.
Home on the range. We're the homeowner's loan to be paid. Yeah, come here.
Lonely Ranger Studio.
Yeah, you autograph hunting, sis? You want my ex?
No, I'm Miss Sprawl of the Radio Secrets magazine.
You aiming to rope me in for some interviewing, sis?
Yes, our reader would like to know how you became the Lonely Ranger.
Well, it's a long tale, sis. Rear back onto a chair. take a load off your withers.
You mean sit down?
Yeah, take up the slack in your skin.
Oh, thank you. Now, is this your first radio program you just finished, Mr. Ranger?
Yeah. I ain't quite studio broke yet. I'm a real cowhand from down Texas way.
But why do they call you the Lonely Ranger?
Wet up the end of that pencil, sis, and I'll tell you. Us Allens has been rangers for generations, sis. Pa reared me to become a ranger, too. But there was a curse on me. I first suspected I was hexed when I was 5 years old. Pa come home to the cabin one day.
Howdy, Ma!
Ain't you home early from massacring, Pa?
Yeah, run out Indians, Ma. Thought I'd come home and learn little Luke something about shooting. Where is the brat?
Luke! Oh, Luke!
Yeah, coming, Ma.
What you doing, son?
I'm parting the hair on them Indian scalps you fetched on, Pa.
Tiny little cuss, ain't he? Well, now how'd you like to shoot your pa's gun, Luke?
Yippee! Hand me a .45, Pa.
All right, here you are, son.
What'll I shoot at, Pa?
Well, if I had a playing card...
Well, I got a deck in my rompers. Here's a card.
Good. I'll put this ace of spades up on the mantle, son.
Blaze away, son.
Okay, Ma, here she goes.
Oh, I'm shot, Pa.
Aw, oh, heck, and I was aiming at the ace of spades.
Your Ma understands, Luke. Too bad. Try again. Now aim a little more careful.
Okay.
Oh, you got me that time, Luke.
I didn't mean to, Pa.
Son, you're cursed. You got the worst aim in Texas history.
Won't I grow up to be a ranger, Pa?
I'll never live to know, son. I'm a-dying. Oh.
Jeepers, I'm alone.
Well, that was the start of my curse, sis. At 5, I was a self-made orphan.
But how did you live?
I tried hunting, but my aim was so bad I kept killing my dogs instead of the game.
Didn't your eye improve as you got older?
No, it got worse, sis. The first job I got brought on my fatal curse again. I stopped at a ranch house. A sign said, "Help wanted." I rapped me on the door.
Hey, up. What's your peddling, son?
I'm a-looking for work, ma'am.
We got a scarecrow, son.
Got a scarecrow sign on your gate says, "Help wanted." I'm mighty good at choring, ma'am.
Well, I'll ask Pa. He's into the parlor, branding. Pa, boy to see you about choring.
Fetch him in, Ma.
Get long into the parlor, son.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hold still, doggy. Can you make yourself handy around the ranch, son?
Well, I can do anything that don't take in shooting, sir.
Well, I'll try you out. Let me see you brand this calf.
Oh, I singe your mean initial, mister.
Good. I'll bend over and hold this doggy's legs. Take that iron and brand her, son.
Now, hold her steady. I'm a set to brand.
Ow! Oh, you grilled the end of my spine.
Well, sure enough, the back of your lap reads, Dead End Ranch.
And the back of your lap's gonna read Regal Shoes. Take this. Oh, and this. And this.
After that, I knowed sure enough I was cursed, sis. I just drifted from one job to the t'other.
Too bad you didn't meet a nice girl and settle down.
Well, I did, ma'am. Me and Emmeline split up at the altar. I went to kiss the bride and missed. I smacked a good-looking gal in the front pew. Emmeline left for Reno in her wedding gown.
It must have broken your heart.
Sure did, sis. I decided to forget Emmeline and join the Rangers.
And did you?
I rode me 3 nights and 3 days on my horse Silver. It was sunset on the Santa Fe Trail when I jogged me up to the Rangers' camp. The boys were sitting around the campfire a-singing.
We're all pals together. Come.
Whoa! Hi-yo, men! This year, the Rangers camp?
Yep. Who be you, stranger? Hop along, Cassidy.
No, I'm Luke Allen from down Rattlesnake Canyon way.
What? You ain't old Dan Allen's yearling.
The same, partner. I'm aiming to join the Rangers.
Well, smack my toe-fit. I'm Captain Grimes, son. I fit Indians with your pappy.
Well, I heard pappy tell about you and him shooting 200 Indian squaws one Mother's Day.
Yep. We was some lady killers, Luke.
Well, reckon I can join your Rangers, Captain.
Soon as you pass the shooting test, you're in, Luke.
Well, see, can't I join up without shooting?
Ah, come on, draw, son. Let me see you hit that there coffee pot.
Well, I'll try, Captain Dan. Stand back, men.
Oh! Hold on, hope. Quit shooting, son.
Well, I still ain't moved that coffee pot.
None of my Rangers ain't moved, neither.
You mean...
You gone and killed my last five Rangers, son.
I knowed it. I'm disgraced. I just got me one bullet left. I'm killing myself, Captain Grimes.
Don't do it, son.
Stand back, Captain. Oh, I missed again.
You got me, son. I'm the last of the Rangers.
But the Rangers can't die out, Captain.
No, son. I'm making you a Ranger.
Thank you.
You gotta carry on. So long.
He's dead. I'm the Lonely Ranger. Hi-ho, Silver! And that's how I became the Lonely Ranger, sis.
And you were all alone in the world.
Well, at first, I still had my faithful old horse, Silver. We ranged the hills together. And one day, I noticed my horse was pining away. I sent for a horse doctor.
Well... Here it be, Luke.
You gotta work fast, Doc. Silver's ailing pretty bad. See? You see, Doc, she can't barely neigh.
Hey, how'd she get so thin? She been feeding regular?
Yep, I've been feeding her myself. Why, I just hung Silver's feed bag on her before you come. Silver!
What? She's dead, Luke.
Dead?
Yep. Now that she's fell over in the light, I can see why she died.
Why, Doc?
It was starvation, Luke.
Starvation?
Yep. Look at Silver's oats.
Well, doggone my cursed aim. I've been hanging her feed bag on the wrong end. So you see, sis, I've been cursed. My rotten aim has cost me my folks... My gal, my job, even my horse. Today, nobody on the range will come near me. That's why I'm called the Lonely Ranger.
Do you think radio will change your life?
Yes, sis. I ain't the Lonely Ranger no more. I got me a sponsor.
Luke Allen! Where's Luke Allen?
Well, I'm the Lonely Ranger, partner. Who be you?
I'm Dandy Suggs, the manufacturer of Brano Wads.
My sponsor? Well, boss... How did you like our first program?
Nobody heard a line you said.
What?
It was terrible. Every time the script came to a line of yours, there was a dead silence over the air.
Why, I read them lines, partner.
Oh, yes? Well, what happened?
It's my fatal curse. My aim. I must have missed the microphone.
Missed the microphone? Allen, you're fired.
Now, see here. Hold on.
I'm paying you for one broadcast. Here's a dollar.
Thank you, sir.
Wait a minute. You owe me 50 cents change.
Well, I ain't got no money, sir.
Well, go out and get that dollar changed. Bring me back two quarters.
Yes, sir. Well, sis, I gotta go, I guess, miss.
Well, how'll I end up my interview?
Just say, once again, I'm the Lonely Ranger.
But what about the two quarters?
Just say, I owe Silver. I owe...
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we
Luke, Howdy, Allen got the Silver. Best of you, I think, Fred.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we preview the outstanding lulls in next week's slightly terrific show, we'd like to leave you with this friendly thought.
When you buy a tube of Vipana and a bottle of Sal Hepatica, ladies and gentlemen, you are not only bringing into your homes an ideal toothpaste and an ideal laxative, but those purchases are also making possible all of these Wednesdays with Fred Allen. So thanks for your loyalty and friendliness to Ipana Toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
Well, thank you, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
You cad. You have the nerve to ask for my daughter's hand.
I only want to see if these new gloves fit, lady.
People you didn't expect to meet.
Lucky Teeter, a man who has smashed up 1,000 automobiles and never got a ticket. Don't miss him.
And music.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.